For some, the sea is not a place. It is a calling, a home away from home. If you find yourself drawn to the water, we can take you there. Imagine you, your friends, and family on a private yacht in the most beautiful places in the world, from the Bahamas or the Virgin Islands to Greece, Italy, Tahiti, and beyond. This is a yacht charter vacation with The Moorings, and it's easier than you think. Inquire today. Your next great vacation begins at moorings.com. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Hi, welcome to the Gospel of Kinnison, episode 203, brought to you the week of April 8th, 2024. I'm your host. My name is James Kinnison, and this is my personal audio journal. How are you doing? I'm doing good. It's great to be here again, and I just have a story to tell you before we get rolling. Okay, so I'm applying for this job, right? Graphic designer at a church here in the St. Louis area. And we visited it last week, which was Easter, and we had a good experience. And they have multiple campuses, right? So this week we decided to go to a campus that was 11 minutes away. Okay. Now, before I tell you about that, I have to tell you that I called a friend of mine named John Beckett. He worked as a volunteer underneath me at Sheffield Family Life Center in Kansas City, Missouri, Kansas City's Joyful Church, where we are family. And he went on to bigger and better things. He works for Samaritan's Purse. They're the ones that do the little shoe boxes every year at Christmas and stuff like that. And I was talking to him about the church, and he says, "Oh yeah, I used to work with a guy that I think went there. His name's Dave, and he told me some stuff about how they were hurt by the church that they went to while they were working there, and how when they started at the church I'll be working at, the church offered to help them with counseling, you know, pay for counseling and just healing, you know, and things like that." And he just kept going on and on about this church that had blessed his friend Dave so much. And I was like, "That's great, John. That's great. Okay, cool." And so now fast forward to last Sunday, we went to, like I said, a campus that was 11 minutes away, and we went right to the welcome table because that's what the instructions on the website says. Show up 15 minutes early, come to the welcome table, and then go get you some coffee and then go find a seat. And so I'm a rule follower, so I came 15 minutes early. I talked to the older ladies that were at the counter. We introduced ourselves, and this guy walks up and he's got a little earpiece on, so I know he's probably a pastor. So I was talking to him. He was introducing himself. I didn't recognize the name because I'd forgotten the guy's name. And yeah, I said, "Are you the campus pastor here?" He says, "No, actually, so-and-so is. I just kind of float around, blah, 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 blah." And I don't remember what he said that cued me off. I don't remember what he said that perked and got my brain chugging like an old Dell like with a Centron processor, but he said something that I just, it's like my brain went ding, or like this. And out came the words, "Do you know John Beckett?" And he goes, "I know John Beckett. Do you know John Beckett?" And I'm like, "Yes, I know John Beckett. I've known him. We go way back. I've been, or he used to work for me at Sheffield in children's ministry. And before I knew it, homeboy was who happened to be this John character or Dave character. He pulls out his cell phone, snaps a selfie of me and him and sends it off to John. And we just swapped stories. Forever, I told him I was applying for this job, you know, and that's why we were here, because I would rather want to go to church here than have to go to church here. And I don't know, it was just, I don't use the phrase God ordained very often, if ever, but if there ever was one, I mean, the Stranger Things music started playing, theme song, you know, and it was weird. It was like, ooh, so it was spiritual of some kind. And I choose to believe it was God spiritual. So but it wasn't just bumping into the dude, right? It was that all the stuff John said about the church applied, that they care about people, that they love people, that they support people, that they welcome hurt people and they don't throw them away. And that, my friends, is what I need. That's what my family needs. And so we are very optimistic. We liked the church. The experience was good. It was built. It was a built building for that purpose. So it was a church building. I didn't know what to expect. I thought it'd be a strip mall, you know, some sort of, you know, a metal building or something. But no, it was nice. And you go and sit down, and they had their own worship service, which I was a little worried about trying to worship along with a live stream, you know? But I found myself getting into it, even though you guys have heard me say worship is triggery for me. For Sunday, it wasn't. We'll get into that in a minute on possibly why. But then after they're done with worship, they welcome you to join the main service. The screen rolls down and the guy preaches. And you know what? You don't miss out on anything. I mean, it's not like you sit and talk with the pastor. So the pastor being on the screen, on the stage, is to me the same as seeing him in person. He's not like a famous celebrity. Then it would matter. You know, if it was Taylor Swift walking around and you're just seeing a video of her, I mean, there's no way you'd pay to see that. But anyway, I had no issues. And the church is so uncringy. They seem to be very aware of their congregation, that they've got believers, they've got unbelievers, they've got hurt people. They've got people that come from a scientific background or a way of thinking, a worldview. And they've got people that don't even want to be there, you know, that were drugged there by a friend or a family member or what have you. And they seem to address all of those possibilities in every aspect of their service. And I respect that so much. I truly appreciate it. So, I haven't talked to you about the church since Easter, because I did last week's all hyping early in the morning, and it was good. The guy, preached, the main pastor preached. We went to the main, you know, service, ended up in a overflow room. So we watched it through, you know, streaming in the room, which wasn't a problem except for worship, like I said, was a little weird. But the guy used object lessons and video clips, and reminded me so much of back when I was doing children's ministry. Okay, I just took a phone call, so I don't remember what I was talking about. But the church was good, and they did children's ministry. I cannot remember if I said this last week, but I want to say that I told my wife years ago, back when we were in children's ministry, that churches were going to have to step up their game because of children's church. Kids have become used to more interactive services and segments You know, like there's motions during music, right? In a children's church, you can raise your hand and somebody will come and see you. They break down and explain complex ideas and words to you. There's video clips, there's puppets, you know, sometimes, if they're done right, they can be wonderful. There's characters, there's object lessons, you know, and in this service, they used, clips, video clips and an object lesson, at least one. And they had audience participation where they would ask things from the crowd, which is risky. I mean, any comedian, even stand-up comedian will tell you that crowd work can be, you know, tough and, you know, it introduces an element of a lack of control. And I appreciated it so much. It breaks up the monotony of a full, you know, spoken service, but it also just, it shows that they put in more work because you still have to write the whole sermon. I know this from children's ministry. You still have to write a whole sermon. Then you take the next step and start the application process and you start the development and the creativity side of things is, okay, how do I now take this scripture and make it real and break it down to where it will be easily digested by people from various backgrounds and from different worldviews. And so far, so good. I'm telling you, I'm a big fan so far. And I would love to work there. And where it stands now, they had a time scheduled for me, which I told you guys, I think that I filled out that application, very honestly. And it took them a few days, but they came back and they want to interview me. And we had an interview set and they had a schedule change. And I have not heard back on what day they want to, interview me, but it's going to happen. And I feel like it's a slam dunk so far. Like, for instance, like I said, I want to work there. I'm not scared of this church. It doesn't trigger me. It seems like a place of healing. And I would love what, see, I have experience in what I call front-facing ministry. And I'm kind of done with that, at least on a stage kind of deal. So I can take the experience that I have, because for years I created my own graphics. Man, I saved myself so much money making my own logos, making my own backgrounds. When it was a new series, I could go through and make a new theme for all of the slideshows and all this stuff. And I assume that's you know what I'll be doing there. I don't know, but I tell you, I'm excited. I'm excited, and I can't wait. So that was my weekly update, is bumping into Dave and finding out that this church is someone that can accept and love broken people. And I put all of my brokenness in the application and they still want to talk to me. So that says a lot. I mean, that's why I love you guys so much, is you know me and you've heard me and you stick around. And that's why, though I may not know you personally, you matter to me. I, you know, not to sound Eastern religions-ish, but I feel something in my spirit from all of you. Your support means the world. It does. Your listenership means the world. And yeah, so anyway, there you go. Pat yourself on the back. You're awesome. Surgery updates. James had bariatric surgery a few weeks ago. It's been a month and a week, I think, at this point. Yeah. And the incisions, last week they were feeling like a tiny baby beat me up. And now, though they're still tender, they are not hurting individually. Like, I just feel a general soreness, like, deep inside. I feel like things are healing. It is a, it's not bad like a bruise. It's just, It's just, you know, I can tell I was cut open and it's still tender, but it's healing. And I can't pick up my favorite fake daughter. I have a fake daughter. I won't share a name on the show, but her last name starts with an L, and she is the cutest little monster in the world. And I have to tell you a weekly update about her. So we did family fun night this week, which I forgot to put on my show notes. So I may as well address it now. But family fun night is something we do once in a while, maybe four or five times a year for families in the area. Like, for instance, you have to have a mom or a dad or a grandma or an auntie bring you as a child to come to this event. So it is a family event. They do crafts, they have snacks, we feed them, and we minister to them. And so we were doing setup for this. And my little fake daughter comes running up, and she straight up has the cutest little doll in her hand. But in the doll's hand is a big butcher knife. And on this doll's face is a Michael Myers mask. Because this little doll is a Michael Myers doll. And I'm like, I know that she did not get that from her parents. And sure enough, she got it from my pastor and friend, David Godbout. He said, I just found it out on the street, you know. So he gave it to her. She's running around. She loves it. She loves it. She's hugging it. She's making it talk to me. I'm like, you know, he's a bad guy, right? His name is Michael Myers. And she's like, no, he's not. No, he's not. He's a good guy. I'm like, why doesn't he have eyes? You know, he's just got these dark circles in the mask, you know. She doesn't have an answer. So she ignores that. And I'm like, why does he have a knife if he's not a bad guy? She goes, the knife is for the bad guys. And so her sweet little innocent world, I want to say she's in kindergarten or maybe the year before. I can't remember. So we're talking six years old at this point. And she's a sweetheart. And Michael Myers and her were the cutest things. I got a picture. Maybe I'll put it on Patreon for you guys to check it out. Patreon's always a good idea, by the way. You heard me talking about how much your support means just listening. When you support financially, it helps me. It helps me as a man, to feel like I'm bringing in, money for my family. Now you guys know I'm about to get a job. So I'll be doing that as well. But, there are costs associated with bringing forth a podcast. I just rejuvenated quite a bit of my recording software. I'm actually recording on what is called a Rodecaster Pro today, and I'm testing it out to see how it works. And it by itself replaces all of the analog equipment that I've purchased over the years. And because I'm Gen X, I can still flow with the new stuff. And so I'm giving it a shot. I have a feeling I'm going to have to treat this room. It's a bigger room. Because I've changed offices. I mentioned that last week. It's a little echoey in here, and I think you can hear it through the microphone. I'm definitely be listening to this episode to see when and where that happens, and I'm going to have to treat the room. And what that means is getting foam pads and trying to make them not look ugly. And it's a 20 to 50% coverage that you have to do. And I want a cute room, not cute, but I want a good looking room. I don't want it to look like a daggum, a vocal booth, you know. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's like a phone booth, but it's covered in pads and has a microphone in it, and it's what singers use, but to record their stuff. But anyway, about family fun night, I have been doing, this is the second time that I've done the faith focus, and I've been praying all week for this thing to go well, and it was a simple thing, but I like to go deep because it's so easy to take a theme, like this week's was spring, because, you know, we were past Easter. So Easter wasn't, you know, an option, but spring and new life, you know, it's so easy to just go with, you know, God can give you a new life, you know? But that kind of falls flat with inner city people because, many of their situations may not change. So, I went into how can you have a new life? How can you grow? How can you change? You know, it doesn't have to be January 1st. It doesn't have to be a new year. You can start change now. So we talked about priorities, and I had an object lesson with a vase, three playground ball pit balls, and a bunch of rice. And you pour the rice in and you tell them this is all of the stuff that you have to deal with, the millions of little things that are vying for your time, that are priorities, but they are the urgent things, not necessarily the important things. And I pick up these three balls. I said, these symbolize one's God, one's family, one's others. And these are the things that we're supposed to prioritize. These are supposed to be number one and two. First, I described to the kids what a priority was. And I had three items that I picked up, and a skateboard, a basketball, and roller skates. And I said, if you were sent outside to play and you had these three items, but you wanted to be on the basketball team this year, what item would be your priority? And they said, basketball. And I went through each one. If you wanted to be a skateboard champ and you wanted to make YouTube videos, what might be your priority? The skateboard, you know. But what if you had a skate party coming up, birthday, and you're not real sure about how good you can skate, and you want to skate really good? What might be your priority? Yeah, skates. And so we taught them that. And then we talked about the priorities, the big ones, God, family, others. And, you know, we dump out the rice, we put the three priorities in, and I said, now watch what happens when we prioritize properly. And I pour the rice over and it fills in all the gaps, and all the rice fits. And so everything fits when you prioritize properly, right? Cause life is not necessarily going to change, but if I prioritize, I can get God in there. Because when the rice was in there, you know, I was like, see, we got God in there, but no, I got family stuff I got to take care of. So I got to take God out and put family in there and kind of stack God on top, but he's not all the way in. And others, man, I ain't got time for nothing to do with other people. And so, you know, at the end of the object lesson, I said, how? Cause I hate sermons where they just tell you what, and they never tell you how. I said, you know, putting God first means accepting Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross, accepting him as our Lord and Savior and the salvation that he brings. If you're interested in knowing more about that, talk to any of the adults here. Secondly, is family. You know, we can do this by obeying our parents. I said, you know why kids don't have jobs? Because their job is school. That is their work. And one of the parents said, school's what? And I'm like, I was confused for a second. I said, I'm sorry. She says, you said school's for what? I said, it's for work. And she reached over and whacked her son on the head. I'm like, she just basically tell him he needs to listen to that. I was like, yeah, you need to work at school. And then others, we talked about how Christ showed us the example of putting others first. And, you know, I said, you know, we live in a hard city where people don't do this. They don't even love each other, much less, put each other first. And we can make change happen, when we do that. So anyway, it was funny cause I sent it to, the lady that runs it, and she, came, she's like, we gotta have a phone call. And I'm like, crap. What did I do? It's the concept of new life, you know, too much. Cause they, you know, yeah, they can change inside, but you know, their economic situation probably won't change, you know, maybe won't change, whatever. No, it was James. That's a lot on that you just sent me. Is it going to fit in 10 minutes? And I'm like, yeah, you're going to be surprised. And it was probably less than 10 minutes. Because I keep it short and keep it deep, you know? And, that's what we did. So anyway, I was very honored to do it. And what I've offered is to help her because she, the lady that's running it, has a different job now, has less free time. And games, stage games, are something that have suddenly become a struggle for her. And so immediately I said, you know what, let me, you know, I don't want to jump in where I'm not welcome. But, you know, I cautiously approached and said, if you would like, if you need it, I would love to do stage games. I mean, that was one of my things in children's ministry is, and I told her, I said, most of my games are how many blanks can you blank in 60 seconds? And she's like, that sounds great. I said, and I have rules about games. First of all, it shouldn't take forever to explain how to play the game. Okay. If it takes as long to explain the game as it does to play the game, that's boring for the audience and the people on the stage, you lose them. Secondly, that the game should be just as fun to watch as it is to play, so that if you don't get picked, you don't feel left out. Thirdly, the way I would do it, especially in inner city with white kids, I wouldn't care, but inner city is everybody wins, basically, meaning that there are winning prizes and there are second place prizes. And I'm not being Mr. Millennial guy. Everybody's got to win all the time and get an achievement trophy. I'm just saying, this place that we are building is an atmosphere of love, acceptance, and celebration. And I don't want a single kid to walk away feeling like a loser, you know, not there. Life is already doing that to them. Like I said, if it was white kids, I wouldn't care, but these inner city kids deal with disappointment and shame and loss, and they need a win. And if I have to manufacture that win, I will. And so I'm going to start getting part of my job will not only be to research and find games that fit with the theme. Oh, that's my third thing is they have to teach. They have to be part of the theme. And so they will, because we are talking about spring, we're going to do how many petals can you stick on this kid's face to turn him into a flower? You know, that kind of stuff. It doesn't have to teach, but it needs to be in sync with what's going on. But part of my job will be to create these games, but also to purchase prizes. That, again, of my rule about prizes on stage is they can't be super huge, because what happens is it makes kids that didn't win upset and sad. And again, these kids deal with enough of that already. They need to, the experience at a church service, which is basically what we're providing, is just as important as the message. And you guys haven't heard me talk like this in years, but this is how I did my kids' church back in the day. And I have the unique ability, I think it's a unique ability, to remember what it was like to be a child and the way children think. And I remember seeing the giant chocolate bars that were 14 feet tall that they would make, and the BGMC winner, the biggest missionary giver, would win that, and it would just, you're just like, immediately hopeless. It's never going to be me. I'm a poor kid. I can't give anything, and I'm never going to win that. And it was just a feeling of hopelessness at a church service, you know. So even the difference between the two candies is just going to be a size difference, you know? I don't care if a kid is like, oh, I didn't win, you know, a bubble gum, or I didn't win, a Tootsie Roll, you know, that, but see, that's an acceptable loss. But if I give them a freaking video game or a board game for winning, then everybody that didn't win is mad at the kid that won. So I don't want that either. So anyway, I don't know how we got off on a thing like this, but oh, because of my fake daughter and her Michael Myers doll. So I am at the point where I have finished week one of Soft Solids. That was the next, leg of the process with this whole bariatric sleeve nonsense, and things have gone about as well as expected. I've told you about the little old lady that lives in my stomach that beats on the ceiling and tells me that everything I'm sending down is bad. You know, she used to hate applesauce. She's fine with applesauce now. She used to hate water. She used to hate anything. At every level, she has hated. And she hates chicken. She hates oatmeal. She hates fruit cups. She hates chicken soup. She hates fish. And I love it. Oh, man, I love it so much. Let me show you how much I love it. Let me see here if I can do this trick.
I love it.
See, this is my new soundboard.
I love it.
I love being able to eat some normal foods. And so, like I mentioned last week, you know, I can have tomato sauce. So, you know, with the chunks and stuff in it, I can have ground hamburger. I can have noodles. So I was able to eat spaghetti. Not very much, but I had spaghetti. We even went to Panera, and I had been getting soup, but I was really feeling like I want something other than soup. And so I got a pick two, and I got a Panera barbecue sandwich and soup. And I pulled out the chicken from the bread with a little bit of the cheese, dipped it in the sauce that I got on the side, very slightly, ate that slowly, had my soup, brought the soup home in a box. I'm going to have it for lunch in a little bit. Matter of fact, it's 12:14. I need to go eat. So things are going well. Like, they're getting more normal. We went back to Seiberg's, which is our favorite place to eat. And I got chicken and fruit, and I was able to eat about a third of a chicken breast and a good bit of the fruit. And so, you know, the stomach immediately wants to feel like I just swallowed 10 rocks. But, after 30 minutes, I'm able to drink water, and it tends to seem like, I don't know, like when your toilet don't flush and your stuff's in there and you take a big pitcher of water and you pour it down in it real fast and it makes it flush, you know, because the tank ain't filling up fast enough, or maybe it ain't filling up at all. I don't know. That's the only thing I can kind of suggest that is happening, because when I drink something later, it seems to get things kind of moving and grooving and all that. But I'm not worried about it, because at every phase, it has been the same set of rocks, and the stomach eventually adjusts and gets used to it. So I got an email from Donna Hampton this week, a listener to the show. And she said, I want to hear, and she says, we actually want to hear, she's speaking for all of you. We want to hear non-scale victories. And then she explained to me what they were. They were things like looser clothes and, you know, things that are easier and stuff that brings, you know, humanity, I guess, you know, to just saying I lost some amount of weight. And I agree, because it's pretty boring to say that I've lost 43 pounds and that I look completely different, or at least I feel completely different. I don't know if I said this last time, but for the first time in my life, I feel... here's a non-scale victory for you. I feel like a skinny person, that just has a little bit of weight to lose. Like, 'cause when I get up and out of this chair, it doesn't hurt to stand up. When I walk up the stairs, I don't run out of breath. When I'm putting on my clothes, I don't run out of breath. When I put on my shoes, I can flop my ankle up on my knee without pulling on my, reaching down and grabbing my leg and bending it against its will up to my knee. Here's another NSV. I can wear double X clothing, and it actually seems a little big on me. We were going out on a date, and I just said, you know what? I'm at the weight I was when I lost all that weight a couple years ago, when I bought all those new clothes, and sure enough, it fits and I can look good. There's not a lot of good looking clothes for people that are triple X. There's a comedian, Jim Gaffigan, that says triple X. It's obscene. You're so fat, it's obscene. Triple X. You end up with a lot of Hawaiian shirts with with trees and coconuts on it. And I've always thought it was like an underhanded way of saying, you need to get outside and eat more fruit, you know, go touch grass. So the scale is doing good. Obviously the weight is doing good. I haven't measured, you know, anything, but I mentioned last week that I'm wearing my ring again, which is just so great. And my wife just the other day, I guess she just hadn't noticed, but she said, oh, your ring. And I said, yeah, I've been wearing it for a while. She says, I know I saw it when you sent it to me, you know, in the text, but I just hadn't thought to look. And there it is. I'm like, yeah, it's awesome. So yeah. And let me think if there's anything else. I mean, getting in and out of cars is easier. I mean, there's some things I could mention that I won't mention that have to do with married life that have become easier and less strenuous. So, you know, life is good. It is great, actually. Matter of fact, I'll tell you another NSV non-scale victory. I fell going up the stairs, the concrete steps to my house yesterday, and it hurt. I fell hard. I hit the broad side of my upper arm from my elbow to my wrist. And I hit, I didn't hit my shin straight on, but to the side, and it kind of spanked it, you know, as well as hitting, it just kind of slapped it. And so it stung and it got to the bone. So it hurt. And then when I got up, I tried to get up all quick. I almost like fell off the little porch area and I grabbed the doorknob and held on. Cause I hit pretty hard and I tried to do that quick recovery that hopefully nobody would notice that I fell. But you know what, if I had fallen fully fat, it would have been so much worse. Like I doubt I would have caught myself. I'd have probably rolled all the way down the stairs. It could have been disastrous. So, I am grateful. I am grateful for the surgeon. I'm grateful to God for creating the concept and the talent of the person that created the surgery. I'm thankful to my family and to my supporters for the money to be able to do the surgery. Because I don't know if I've mentioned this, but we had an HSA, a health savings account, and we had almost enough money in it. But we were able to pull from the funds that we get from That Story Show and what is this one called? GOK. And I was able to apply $3,000. So you guys are a part of this and I appreciate that. So thank you. Thank God. Thank the surgeons. Thank my family. I feel like it was money well spent. And I can't wait because I've still got 30 pounds to lose. It's crazy. And I've said I'm going to be saggy baggy a little bit. I can already tell under my face. I'm going to have a turkey neck. And you know what? I don't care. I'm so hot that a turkey neck is not going to affect anything. I mean, seriously, so attractive. You would not believe how gorgeous I am. As you know, it's just hot is the word I would use. So it's just going to be so adorable, with my belly skin hanging down over my pants. But I'll just wear untucked shirts, you know, who cares? And when I go to the, swimming pool, I can wear a swim shirt. I don't care, you know, but I'm old. I have a wonderful wife and she would rather see me deflated than inflated. So it's going to be good. All right. So things have been going well mentally since the surgery. And I think part of it, my counselor says, you know, you've been controlling, like micromanaging what you eat. And that's got to be feeling, you know, making your body feel better. You're also, you know, you did a life-changing thing and that's exciting. So there's that. I think I'm also on a natural up. Cause I do seem to have a cycle, cause I was podcasting before the surgery, you know, and feeling good. But lately, I've been doing really good, like really, really, really well. In moving offices or studios, a lot of things happen. I talked about it last week. I moved from a small space to a bigger space. So I went through all of my collectibles. I ended up filling 4 clear plastic, you know, totes with non-necessary Buzz Lightyear stuff. And I wrapped it in plastic. I mean, bubble wrap, taped it up, put it all together. And I still have stuff that needs to either be displayed, eBayed, or stowed away. So I'm still working on that. But I got my podcast equipment set back up. I got all that done. But I needed a place in the basement to put my things, you know, that I don't need all the time. Because I, in my old office, I had everything. Like stuff from Narthex Con was still in boxes sitting down. And I don't need that stuff every... I need it once every 2 years, and some stuff I need once a month, like mailing stuff. So it doesn't have to be out on the desk like it was. And so I wanted to make space, and I got in there and got inspired, and I just started from the door, and I went along the wall, and I just started cleaning that place. And there was so much in there. You know how basements are. There's so much in there. It was hardly room to move stuff around to get to the stuff that needed to be cleaned. But somehow or another, my rule became, if I put my hands on it, it needs to go where it's supposed to go. And so I would stop everything else, like the doors that we took off my daughter's closet upstairs when she wanted glass doors. I found a place for them, and to get them up off the floor, I cut a couple of 2x2s for them to stand on, so the water wouldn't get up under there. And I had this whole craft area that the kids used to use. They don't use it anymore. So I threw out all the paint. I threw out all the markers. I kept the crayons and the pencils. I kept the empty sketchbooks. I threw out all of the cardboard pieces and the shoe boxes and stuff that we could get back again later. And, you know, all that stuff's now for the grandkids. So we don't need that for a while. So it went in a smaller spot. I took all of the furniture that I no longer needed, that I had the too many collectibles on, and stacked them, these IKEA pieces, to make shelving out of. And we put books in there and electronic cables in boxes. And it's just, I could go through everything we did, but I did. But turn that whole room around and swept it up and everything. And it was great. It was great. And I'm doing this stuff because I'm normal. I feel normal. I feel like James. And James isn't tired all the time. And James isn't depressed all the time. And James has energy to do normal things. And so, it's been good. It's been good. I'll tell you what I think has been the biggest good is I mentioned it on the last episode, but I put it into practice this week. My counselor and I had talked, and I said, you know, I've got this list of things I want to do every day. And the trick seems to be getting up in the morning. And she says, well, call me crazy, but try this. Sit up in your bed and open up the Bible to Proverbs, rather. There's 31 of them. You check what the date is. You open to that one and you read it. And then, even if you go back to sleep, you've at least got the ammunition, the mental ammunition to say, you know what? I started my day right. And I was like, dang, okay. So day one, woke up at 8, sat up in the bed, still warm, still snug, grabbed my phone, opened it up, found the right, you know, translation that I wanted. And I found my proverb and started reading and been reading about wisdom all week. After that, I went downstairs and made my breakfast, which was an egg because my wife had not gotten me oatmeal yet. And after that, I got on the treadmill for 30 minutes. And my friends, that has been my schedule every morning, even Saturday, getting up. The only day I didn't do it was Sunday. I take my Sabbath. I think I still read and prayed. I did read and pray. I read and then I prayed quickly. I prayed for all the highlights, you know, but I just didn't go into deep theological, you know, prayer. It probably didn't even count. But I got up and went to church, you know, which is more Christian than anything I've done in a long time, right? But I have felt so good about that. Like, a lot of my God issues have just kind of gone away, and I find myself praising and worshiping before I get into prayer. I found a lot of my pain has been taken away. And so it's good. And I would highly suggest it to any Christian out there. It's not advice I would have ever taken if I hadn't been through what I'd been through. But if you are suffering with the things of God, start with a tiny little change. When you sit up in your bed, open up that Bible app, pick a proverb, and read it. They're so small. They really are. And see what happens. Because I didn't pray the first couple times, but it turned into prayer afterwards. And it was inside prayer. And now I kind of whisper it out loud. And I pray for the same things every day. I pray for my wife first. I pray for my daughter, Jenna, second. I pray for my son, third. And then I pray for my friend, David, and his wife. I pray for my friends, the Lowrys. And then I pray for Family Fun Night, which I won't have to do for a while because I don't know when the next one is. So I'll have to slot something else in there. But I prayed for the event and I prayed for my message. And I really felt like it helped. I really do. But I don't always pray for the same things for every one of those people because, so, you know, stuff comes up. Like Sunday, I prayed. I knew my wife struggles sometimes on weekends when things have been busy. And we had Family Fun Night. We had a meeting at 3 on Sunday. She likes to go running. We had church, which is new. You know, and I just prayed a simple prayer. Lord, let all of the things she wants to do fall into place. And I was thinking of the object lesson that I used, you know, the priorities. She's putting church and this church meeting is a priority. Let everything slide. Man, it did. And she said, your prayer worked, James. Your prayer worked. I'm like, well, you know, it's because of me. No, it's a God thing. Absolutely. So after I'm done praying for Family Fun Night, then I kind of slip into praying for myself. And that is... there's a lot to pray for. So lately, though, I've been praying out of what I've realized to be fear. Because as good as I'm doing and as much as I'm doing while I'm feeling good, I have this fear that things are going to fall apart. That I'm going to go back down to the dark place and that podcasting will not happen and that I won't feel the energy to pray and read the Bible and go to church and keep this job. And so I have begged, and with tears running down my face, God, hasn't it been enough? You know, is this my thorn? Do I need a thorn in my flesh anymore? Have I not become what you wanted me to be? Is this time? Can it be over? Please, please, please. I know I can't. I can only beg. I can only beg. I can't argue. I can't persuade you. But I beg, please let me be healed. Please, please, please let this be it. And you guys have heard this story before, haven't you? You've heard me talk the same way before. So my counseling session today, I told her about this, and she says, James, she says, you got to fight those thoughts. And I'm like, what do you mean? You know, she says, you need to, well, what I thought she was saying at first was you need to deny it. And y'all know I was raised in the name it, claim it. And that sounded a lot like that. Like, I'm not feeling depressed. I'm not worried. I'm not concerned. Bless God. I'm a overcomer. And I was, so I pressed her on that. And I said, isn't that kind of lying to myself? Because I know that there is a big chance. It's happened before that it'll happen again. And she corrected my misunderstanding. And she says, she shared from her personal life. And it was a devastating reality that she has to deal with that has to do with her health. And it made me feel stupid for ever feeling like I know what suffering is. But she says, I could live every day worrying about this eventuality in my life. Or I can say, you know what? I'm not going to let that bother me right now. And so I that's kind of what I'm going to take on, is I'm not going to let that bother me right now. And I said, what do you do when it's not just thoughts? Because she asked me, how many minutes a day do you think about this? And I'm like, five, you know, during prayer time, during when I'm doing something that I won't be able to do if I get depressed again. You know, I said, but that was kind of the wrong question, because I feel oppressed. I feel like it's a blanket laying over me, always with me, this reminder that, you know, you're going to go back again to the bad times, the dark times. And she says again, you know, that may happen. That may happen. But you're saying it, she said, you're saying it as if you go straight from depression into, or straight from happy to depression. She says, there's a process in there. And you can start to see it coming, and you can start to be positive and prayerful and mindful and fight on the way. And she's right. She's right. It does seem like it's overnight, like it goes like a light switch, but there is a time where I can start to see it coming, and I can try and try to be positive and try to have a good confession and pray. Now that I'm praying, to pray through it. And that's been my biggest prayer lately, is if and when the dark times do come back, don't let me stop this. You know, podcasting may end. I may not be able to work with the kids at the family fun night, you know, if it crosses paths with one of those events. But don't let me stop this discipline of getting up and praying and reading my Bible at minimum. You know, I may not work out. I may stop, you know, walking, but let me please at least have the, you know, and then the work, of course, the job, I think, is going to be a great thing, because being depressed makes you not want to get up. But if I have to get up, I will. I proved that when I worked at Chick-fil-A. I proved that when I worked at Cap America. I, no matter how I'm feeling, if I have to get up, I will get up. And so I'm looking forward to the job being a form of accountability. So, oh, you know what I did this week? It's the weirdest thing. I I had this desire to go through my contact list, and I filtered it by people I had phone numbers for, and I went through alphabetically and called people I haven't talked to in 10 to 12 years. So all my former, a lot of my former coworkers at Sheffield, man, I even called the sound guy who was a teenager when I worked at Suncoast, and homeboy has kids, a wife, he's been through school. He's now creating, let me say this again. He is creating children's museums on computer and selling them and then going to see them once they're created and watching kids play on them. How amazing is that? Oh, his name's Nathan. I just never would have thought this, you know, such a good guy though. Such a good guy. I'm jealous. I'm so jealous. I'm gonna go steal his life. But I called people that used to work for me in children's ministry. I called old friends, and it took me 5 hours. I worked for 5 hours calling people. Not every person answered. Not everybody has my number. Some people screened. I left messages. You know, I got calls back, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, I did that this week, and it was amazing. And one of the things that was amazing, I started with about my little God-ordained moment. I had randomly called my friend John Beckett, randomly told him about this job in this church. He randomly told me about this couple and all the things that they experienced at this church of healing. And then I randomly ran into him at the church, you know? And so you want to talk about God-ordained, it started with me randomly calling people that I haven't talked to in 10 to 12 years. And it was good. It was really good. I also spoke to my mom, talked to her for a couple hours. I've heard when you talk with ladies, with women, as a man anyway, it's best to interject as little as possible, because females heal when they share, and they don't need your input. They, you know, whereas men will go in their cave, think things through, then come out and talk about it. You know, women don't like advice that they didn't ask for any more than men do. And so I tried that with mom. And I did interject here and there, just jokes and stuff, you know, and cutting up and normal stuff. Like if she would say something about something, I mean, we weren't having a deep discussion about emotions or feelings or, you know, anything, just life, you know, just catching up on life and stuff like that. So, you know, it wasn't a problem, but I just kept thinking, you know, I'm going to talk until she is done. And I realized that she was never going to be done. And so I don't remember quite how I did it, but I had to cut the conversation short. And so anyway, that was just a funny thing to me, as I tried to be the best son possible, but I still failed. I couldn't do it. Also got on a phone call with my favorite niece. Her name's Abby, and she is 17. And she is on the spectrum, and she is so great, so creative, and seems so appreciative of my attention. And we're both artists and creators. And so we swap sketches and things that we've worked on and share ideas. And I've watched just enough anime to be able to talk to her about anime stuff. And she still watches Minecraft videos, and I know a little bit about I know a lot about Minecraft, but I don't watch many Minecraft videos anymore. But but anyway, we just you know, I just want to be the best uncle, you know what I'm saying? And she was so sweet. She after we got off the phone, we talked forever. Cause she can talk forever too. and got off the phone, and she texted me, and she's like, thanks for calling me. It's a lot of fun talking to you. And you know, so I'll take that all day. I'll take that all day. Family updates. Jen, has a job offer coming, and if it works out, I'll tell you more about it, but it's supposed to be this week. She sat for an interview a couple weeks ago, and I think what happened is the job she applied for, she's a little overqualified for, but they really want her. But the job they were advertising doesn't pay enough to attract her to it. And so I think what they did is they went back and they're making a job with a description and a title and a pay, you know, a pay amount that will attract her from her current job. So I'm excited about that. And there's no reason not to think that, because they've been in touch about, you know, like answering her questions and stuff. And it's like, you don't do that when you're not going to hire somebody. So very excited about that. But even once she gets the offer, there's still going to have to be some thoughts and prayers and stuff, because the biggest thing we're worried about is
work-life balance.
And we want the work-life balance to stay about where it's at now, because things are good. And it sounds like that's going to be the case at this new place too. There's no travel. If so, it's very little. The busy season is the same. I mean, it's honestly the same job, except it's for a corporation instead of an investment firm. So she'll be doing the same stuff, just for a different place. And hopefully they'll treat her better, because all the woman's ever wanted was to feel appreciated at her job. It's all she's ever wanted. And if they can do that, they'll keep her. If not, this will be a stepping stone on to different things. Because when I pray for my wife, I pray one of the biggest prayers is, God, give her the job she deserves, because she deserves the best. She really does. Jenna, I almost didn't have anything for her, but then I remembered I was cleaning up the basement and I found our old BB gun. Okay, I'd bought him a BB gun and we were shooting it, you know, and had you know, safety glasses on, and we had made up a target full of blankets and a cardboard box, you know, with a target on it. And I took a picture of it and I sent it to my kids, and I'm like, look what I found. And nobody responded. Neither one of them responded at all. I was like, this is just more proof that they hate me, poor James. But I showed it to my wife and she's like, what is that? I'm like, it's a BB gun. Oh my gosh, I thought it was real. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's what the kids think. So I wrote again, I said, it's the BB gun from when you guys were kids. And she goes, oh my gosh, I'm so scared. I didn't know. She's like, maybe we need to shoot the dogs with it when we get back. You know, I bet that would be satisfying. And then Jay responds with a big boo, you know, no, we're not shooting the dogs, because he loves the dogs. And so anyway, that was funny, you know, big misunderstanding. I'm such a fool. Jay's a good kid. Okay. He's our best, behaved child. But I got something in the mail that I thought was mine. I opened it up, and it is quite obviously an incense burner holder thingy, Bob. Something, some sort of, you know, shape of that. And I told his mom, I says, you know, he's not going to be burning incense. First of all, it's carcinogens. It's the same as smoking, and he's not going to be breathing in that air. Secondly, I can't handle that smell. We have an air conditioner system that pulls air from the room, air conditions it, and pumps it back in. So whatever he's doing up there, smell he's doing up there is going to get through the whole house. I'm like, he's not doing it. And so he showed it to mom, and mom told him. And he's like, but I've already bought incense. And she's like, sorry, you should have asked. So, yeah, little incense, you know. You know, if it's your thing, that's great. But he was going to be doing it locked up in his room. And, you know, with the intention of keeping the smell out of my nose. And that was a good intention, but, you know, it's not good. So what am I reading, watching and playing? Well, reading, I haven't read anything except the Bible. How about that? Dadgummit, I've read the Bible. Watching, all I've done is watch YouTube videos, and they're random, okay? They're very random. So what I've been doing instead is serving you up on a platter some of my favorite YouTubers, if you are a YouTube person. And I want to suggest today, Bobby Duke Arts. Just put at Bobby Duke Arts at the end of YouTube.com and you will bump into him. I've been watching him since he first got on the channel, and he has just skyrocketed. He is so creative. He shares, he's so funny and just random, but he shares his suffering, and he deals with depression and anxiety. He quit smoking. I mean, he gained weight, he lost it back. I mean, you get to see his journey if you watch through his stuff. And I would almost guarantee you've seen one of his things, because he will carve stuff out of rocks. He will make tiny, tiny knives out of nails and stuff. And it's the most gorgeous work that you've ever seen. Like, some people take stuff and, you know, they make stuff out of clay and you're like, yeah, I can kind of see where you're going there. But this stuff is stellar, next level artwork. And I've always appreciated him. So he's really funny. The next one is more of, it's going to be your thing or it's not, but it's an art thing. Another art thing is Brandon James Greer. You're going to want to type in at BJG. So Brian James Greer, BJG Pixel. And he does pixel art. And he's pretty good at it. He's not the best pixel artist I've ever seen, but I love how he explains his process. And I've watched him over several years, and he has grown exponentially in his talent. And I love pixel art. And I go through phases where that's all I'll do is sit there and color with little tiny blocks. You know, if you don't know what pixel art is, just think of Nintendo video games where everything was really blocky and Mario was just, you know, a few blocks tall. That's how they used to create video games. And it's come back. You've probably seen video games with pixel art, you know, Pizza Time and Hollow Knight and all these other ones that have some form of pixel art in them. Castlevania, you know. So what have I been playing? I've been playing no video games. I've been playing with my Rodecaster Pro 2. Thanks, patrons, for helping me to afford it. John and I are really working to move that story show onto YouTube. And I found a guy. I haven't found a lot of resources for remote podcasting and then getting that onto YouTube. And so a friend of mine named Donovan, he sent me a video, politically, you know, related video where a left-wing guy was interviewing a guy that was now calling himself independent, you know, after not being able to recognize the Republican Party. And I kind of sympathize with that a little bit. I, you know, just personally feel like we're a little too alt-right. But anyway, don't want to get into that. Don't want to talk politics. But the point was, other than the video being good, the fact he was interviewing someone from another part of the country, but it was a split screen video and it looked so good and the audio was so tight. And the guy had under 150,000 followers. So I'm like, I bet he would answer an email, because once you get over 500,000 to a million, you don't answer emails anymore. I don't know what the deal is. God forbid I ever get so famous I can't connect with my people. But he did. He responded. He says he uses StreamYard. And so I investigated StreamYard. And StreamYard is great because it records the video and audio on each individual's side of things. So it doesn't rely on your computer like what we've tried to do in the past, if you can imagine, is he has sent me his video and then I use a software to capture that video and then my video as well, and then stream that back out. So I'm streaming in video and trying to stream out video. But in this case, I am only streaming out audio and video, and on his side, John's only streaming out audio and video. And it, in this website service, acts as the mediator, and it therefore takes that and streams it out to multiple streaming platforms. So it does all the heavy lifting, basically. And then at the end of the podcast, I can download individual audio tracks and the video and construct a YouTube edited version that I will then post and therefore help our reach, you know? And so I'm really excited about that. And that directed me to the Rodecaster Pro, which it's the size of a soundboard. It's about 12 inches wide, maybe 11 and a half inches deep. It has sound effects pads already built into it. You know, for the show. And it's very simplified and very deep. If you know what you're doing and you know what you need, it can do it. And it takes the place of thousands of dollars of equipment that I've built up over the years. And it is superior. I fought it for a long time, but I think I'm ready to move into the next generation like we Gen Xers do. So I hope this recording comes off well. If it doesn't, it is because of the Rodecaster Pro 2. And it is also because my room is bigger and I didn't bring the rug from next door. I don't want a rug in here. I want to treat the ceilings. I want to treat the walls. But yeah, I like when I'm back here, you can hear, I'm sure, the whole room. But hopefully when I'm up close on it, it sounds pretty normal. So I already mentioned filling four boxes full of stuff as far as what I'm doing. I'm still fixing up my office space. Talked about that. Nice to have more room. Got to treat the room for sound. Plenty to decorate and do. And photos are coming soon of this turnaround. You know, it's once I get my basement fancy, once I get my studio fancy, I'll post some photos and stuff. If you happen to be a patron of that story show, you have been experiencing photos and posts and blog posts along the way and been following this journey with me. So anyway, yeah, and I cleaned the basement. I got that. So this show is brought to you by our supporting Patreon members, with special thanks to Carrie Wright, Carrie Bernhardt, and Wesley Gill. Support me and the show and get a GOK sticker at patreon.com/GOK. And I mentioned that when I got the new stickers, everybody was getting a sticker. And so I haven't done that because I've been really busy this week, but it is still on my mind. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to address out everybody that is an active Patreon member is going to get a sticker, a brand new sticker. And it's, I want to say 3 inches by 3 inches. Yeah. And it's rounded corners. It'll look good on a water bottle and it'll stay. So anyway, Facebook, my Facebook is /NLcast. Twitter is /JamesWKennison. And then, of course, Patreon, if you want to support us on Patreon, patreon.com/GOK. We always welcome that. It always is a help. And, you know, while GOK is available at no cost, its creation and hosting require both time and financial investment. If you're in a position to help the podcast, kindly consider becoming a patron. And your support is greatly appreciated. Thank you. We'll see you guys next week. Love you. Bye.
You've got enough on your plate. Mundane meals shouldn't be one of them. Get an endless variety of the freshest, best-tasting food from award-winning chefs delivered to your door with Cook Unity, all at a fraction of the cost and time you're spending now. Cook Unity offers hundreds of meals prepared by their roster of all-star chefs. Simply choose from their innovative variety or let them surprise you. Menus are updated weekly, and new chefs are always joining the team. So you'll have fun discovering new favorites while avoiding the dreaded dinner rut. No cleanup or meal planning, just easy and effortless meals delivered fully cooked that heat up in as little as 5 minutes. Speaking of easy, Cook Unity is flexible and commitment-free. Skip deliveries, pause, or cancel anytime. Take a load off and leave your meal prep to Cook Unity. Affordable food crafted by award-winning chefs delivered straight to your door. Go to cookunity.com/podcast or enter code podcast before checkout for 50% off your first week.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.